This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done. No man, diamonds on my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep praying, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of prime. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to episode 269 of Fourth and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Prime in the building. We are talking the newest addition to the Philadelphia Eagles wide receiving core, Zach Pascal, added to the nest. Before everyone's it's too upset and hot and bothered, I mean, I know a lot of wide receivers have come off the board. Now, Zach Pascal is a move that a lot of analysts out here, a lot of Eagles beats, everyone, this is the kind of move. Like the night before this move happened, in our DMs, I was like, Zach Pascal will not be the sexiest move, but it will be a move that will probably happen. And again, people, you can be upset, but let's realize that it is what it is. You're talking about a guy who, a young Zach Pascal, told his mother he was going to get a 1400 on the SATs. He was going to play for the NFL. He said he was going to play for the New York Giants one day. That, you know, that didn't happen, but he did land in the NFC East. You know, you're talking about a guy who's been these are the type of guys that are glue guys. He's a guy that, you know, obviously Nick Sirianni loves. Sirianni told the Colts offense that he hopes his son Jacob grows up to play the same brand of technically sound, unselfish football that Zach does. I mean, here's a quote. If you don't fall in love with him already, it's easy to love this dude. When you're talking about Rager, talking about J-Jaw, you're talking about guys at the back end of this roster who are question marks moving forward. You think about Nick Sirianni getting his version, pretty much his version of Greg Ward in here. He knows what he's capable of. You're talking about a guy who's led the Colts in receiving yardage 2 years in a row from 2019 to 2020. So a guy that he knows he's going to bring his hard hat and his lunch pail to the table. So I know it's not super exciting for many folks out there, but again, he's a guy that's going to, you know, he's going to work every day. I mean, Evan, are you excited about this move?
Listen, I am. It's not like I'm sitting over here with my, you know, my streamers and my balloons. I'm ready to throw a party because we signed Zach Pascal. I'm kind of seeing this for what it is. I see a guy that Nick Sirianni used to have in his own offensive system that he's familiar with. I see a guy who, I mean, they rave about his blocking abilities. I mean, if that doesn't perk anybody's ears up about, you know, someone else that is described the same way on our team, I think that's your replacement right there. I mean, we've been sitting here and just confused out of our minds the past two seasons or however long J-Jo has been here. It feels like a lifetime. But we get told every season that the value that he brings is his blocking. I think that Zach Pascal can bring that blocking ability in addition to probably a more of a receiving threat. I'm not jumping off of a bridge either about this whole Zach Pascal situation, because if you look at the timeline, it looks like we just found a dead body. I mean, there's people out here that are just losing their minds like, oh, well, now we have to take a wide receiver in the first round or second round. Wasn't that the plan already? I mean, honestly, we got between the first two rounds, we got four picks. And if you think that the Eagles weren't going to go after a wide receiver with one of those four picks, I think you're mistaken. If you just look at what our wide receiver core is, we need help. So bringing in a guy who is obviously, like I said on Twitter, he's not Jerry Rice. Everybody knows he's not Jerry Rice. Nobody thinks he's going to come here and be an elite wide receiver, but he's going to be a depth guy. And that's exactly what we need. He's a better depth guy than the current depth guys we have. I'm not complaining.
Well, I mean, yeah, it definitely wasn't the prettiest, definitely wasn't the sexiest, definitely wasn't the best man on the board. But, you know, I mean, it was definitely an upgrade from what we got, from what we've been dealing with for the past couple of years. You mentioned Jay Nall. You mentioned Rager. Yeah, I'll take anything over those two guys, right now. You know, Nick Sirianni knows this guy better than anybody. He played, you know, he coached him in Indianapolis, so he knows what he's all about. So, I mean, hey, for him to go ahead and make the decision to bring this guy onto the team, sign him, he's definitely confident on that move, and he's definitely confident that he can fit into this program. So, I mean, hey, we just got to be patient and see, you know, what this guy's all about. The timeline is going to be the timeline. You know, nothing's going to ever gonna change that. You're never going to make everybody happy on that damn timeline. So, yeah, it is what it is, man. So, I mean, hey, listen, welcome to the squad. Definitely looking forward to your contributions to the team, and, you know, let's get busy.
There's just one thing that I got to get off my chest, and it's that, like,
no, not you.
No, I'm saying it. And like Jerome, he kind of hits on it here. I mean, the wide receiver market has been insane this year. The free agency, the money that these guys are getting paid, and you're bringing in depth, man. This is not the end all be all of our wide receiver group. I mean, we still have months to go to fill out this roster. And people that are panicking, and, you know, I saw a few comments, you know, if the season ended today, blah, 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 or starting today. Yeah, the season doesn't start until September, man.
Relax.
Chill out. The draft didn't happen yet.
It's another piece to the puzzle, and that's the thing that you have to realize that, you know, these teams that and the culture that you want to build in this locker room is built in pieces. Now, you talk about a guy who this is his quote over here. He says, let me see here. He said, every day that you are not working, someone else is. To me, you have to fall in love with the grind. You have to fall in love. If you don't love the game or football or don't love getting better, this game is probably not for you. And you're talking about a guy who's an undrafted free agent. You know, he was a journey, like he started with Washington, ended up with the Titans, and then got cut there and then moved on and worked his way. You know, talking about he's had a mindset, like I said, ever since he was a kid. His plans have come to fruition in college. His coach said, you know, if you're going to get drafted or be on an NFL team, you're going to have to learn how to block. You're going to have to be a sound blocker as a wide receiver. You're going to have to be on special teams. It's a guy who loves to go out there and make hits on special teams. He's a guy that will do anything that it takes. You know, his coach from Old Dominion, he says, you get those guys once in a decade. And this guy's been coaching for 32 years. This is what he said about Pascal. Pascal's a former teammate of Travis Fulgham, Taylor Heineke. We all know him from Washington. And I believe he played with our long snapper. Yeah.
Ricky Lovato.
Yeah. Very so it's like,
I don't want to throw like a wet blanket on what you're saying. This is what I'm going to say is that like Jalen Rager kind of ruined the whole what this guy is saying on social media kind of vibe for me. Jalen Rager, when he got drafted, I thought he had the dog mentality. Everything he's putting out there on Twitter, I'm like, oh, this guy, he's going to be legit. He just seems locked in. So like when I come and I see like what these guys are saying and their quotes and they're saying what they're supposed to say, I just have to kind of take it with a grain of salt after I had the Jalen Rager experience.
You're talking about Jalen Rager is a guy that's been he's been the guy. This is a guy undrafted. This is undrafted free agent mentality. If you like, these are how these guys become NFL players is because they have that grind in them. So
now we're talking about somebody who's already got 4 years in the league. Rager still got that young mentality. I mean, I get what you're saying, Evan, but I mean, the difference between this guy and Rager is, you know, I mean, he's been in the league for a while. You know, this is another chance for him. So, you know, to start fresh, and, you know, his attitude seems like it's all right. So, I mean, I get it. Yeah, Rager did mess that up for, you know, a lot of us, but yeah, I'm not gonna look too much into that, you know, and kill the vibe, you know, for everybody else that pretty much is genuine when it comes to, you know, speaking like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, because the whole idea is like, I'm all about making over this wide receiver group. Like, you're adding in a guy who's already been Sirianni's favorites. If you remember during his presser when he Sirianni talked about some of the guys that he wanted to make mention of, the special relationships he made with the Colts, the fourth guy he mentioned was Zach Pascal. So you're just talking about, Sirianni is implementing a guy who he knows is going to work hard, who's going to toe tap, who's not going to, you talk about his other teammate, Travis Fulgham, in college. That's a guy that was in here who wasn't doing the things that Sirianni liked. So, again, back into the roster, but I think he's a guy that he's going to push and make these other guys better.
I agree with that, but I would still – would you guys agree that we are far from done as far as the wide receiver group is concerned? I mean, I'm looking at it is that after the Greg Ward signing, after the Zach Pascal signing, I'm kind of looking at we've got a wide receiver one, a wide receiver four, and a wide receiver five. That's kind of what I'm looking at right now, if I'm being real.
Listen, you are being real, and you know what I mean? You're hitting it with that one because we still need two and three in there. So, Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way.
But if you think about Pascal's skill set, right, the last 2 years, he's had 69.5% of his time in the slot over the past two seasons. 2019, where he put it, 2021, he spent 71% of his time in the slot. 62.5% of his time when he was lined up outside. That's when he had that breakout season for the Colts. So playing with Carson Wentz, he had his probably his worst numbers in the last couple of years. But
and I'm willing to forgive and forget.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at who's throwing to him, I have to take that into a grain. So, I mean, that's what I've been saying about Juju and Ben.
But his numbers, he still was the second leading receiver last season for them in yards wise.
Second 384. What did they have? They had a Greg Ward season, didn't they?
Well, they had a 1,000-yard receiver as well.
It's like that everywhere Carson goes.
Yeah, Michael Pittman.
Yeah, Michael Pittman, and we had T.Y. Hilton come back as well. So you're just talking about a guy, again, he knows the system as well.
T.Y.'s out there as well, too.
Does he have anything left in the tank?
Yeah, no, I feel that.
I'm not trying to start the Philadelphia coach shit.
Well, I mean, I think he's like Gannon's version of Anthony Harris in a way. Like, he's like, he knows the system. Bring him in. You like what he brings to the table. I'm with it. And again, it's we were just talking about a wide receiver four at the moment. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. I'll say just a guy, but in terms of just like culture building, I think he's a guy that you throw in there, throw into the mix. And then we talk about wide receiver one in the draft. Again, people don't want to draft another wide receiver in the first round. Some people are, if the board warrants it,
yeah,
that's where you're going. As soon as they made that move and they haven't targeted any, they targeted guys out here. You know, we all know, Juju actually took a little bit less, but he's playing with a Super Bowl contender and a quarterback who's an all pro. So, I'm not gonna hate him for that. Allen Robinson, making a lot of money. The Kirks of the world making a lot of money. So the wide receiver market, as we said, like if you're out here buying a new car, the numbers are up. So I think I'm okay going to the draft now.
I'm totally fine going into the draft now. And like honestly, I just think I don't understand the mentality of someone that is just dead set against drafting a quarterback in one of the first two, I'm sorry, a wide receiver in one of the first two rounds. Like I totally get like, oh, we've drafted wide receiver high these past few years. So what? It didn't work out. But we still need to fill the position. Like just because it didn't work out in previous years doesn't mean it's going to not work out this year. You can't just leave a glaring issue because we failed in previous years to fill a position.
Yeah. And, Victor asks, he says, how much money do we have in our cap space? We're at about 27 mil right now. If I'm last time I checked on over the cap, that's enough to sign your rookies and still enough to make
another guy. Yeah.
One more move that you can make a splash or you can make a couple.
Do you think
ripples.
If there was another Howie Roseman splish splash, it would be on the offensive or defensive side of the ball?
It could be. I know that they did bring back Mr. Harris, but I mean, it would be nice if they. It would be nice if they.
I'm good either way.
It would be nice.
It would be. Everybody's asking for the honey badger. I hear you.
I'm in with.
Or you could be cheap and run it back with McLeod and then draft a safety in the second to third rounds.
I don't think that's the worst avenue either. I think that McLeod's still got another year in him.
It's not the worst, but it's It is what it is.
But you're still lacking depth at that position. And like, while we're on the topic of the safety position, what's our confidence level right now in Kayvon Wallace?
Just a guy right now. not to be disrespectful at all. Just like, again, when you talk about those quotes that you mentioned earlier,
yeah,
like that's what those are the kind of quotes that, you know, for a guy who puts quotes out there and like cryptic stuff and hasn't done it yet, like for a guy like Pascal's that I know that has worked his way from being a nobody to a somebody.
Didn't Fulgham do the same thing?
And then I don't know if it got to his head or what. I don't know because Fulgham is in and off teams for the last couple of years, so you know it is what it is, but I like what he brings to the table. But I think you're talking about Kayvon Wallace. Yeah, no, I think you really, really do have to think about drafting a guy in the secondary, or I'm still okay with getting a cornerback. You know, in the first last time we drafted a cornerback was Lito Shepherd.
That is crazy. If I could be say one positive thing about Kayvon Wallace, though, I think in special teams play he actually did step up this past year. I think he did pretty decent in the special teams side of the ball. But if you're trying to be the guy at safety, you need to show up all around the ball.
Hey, man, it's time, man. Like, I mean, come on, man. You got to insert the youth, whether it's at linebacker or safety. I really think that's where you need to bring in speed and playmakers. It's a low, low, low for Wallace. Now, Zach says he's bringing the dog mentality, Uncle Gale. We're talking about
Pascal.
Zach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. We're talking about the wide receiver group and potentially bringing in some first round talent out there. We've made mention of them often. It's the top of the board right here, man. It's Garrett Wilson, man. Are you talking about Garrett Wilson? You know, if you're gonna insert one guy who can separate, is an explosive, get that yak, like him and
Devontae,
those are smooth criminals right there. You know, those two.
That's just the thing. If you go with Tyron, let's just say we get the honey badger. Now you can focus on grabbing that stud, out of the draft, and then still fill in the other, two with defensive players. So I think it will work out that way.
Now other people might say Olave. His teammate, another smooth route runner, not the most willing blocker out there. I was watching some blocking cut-ups of Olave. I was like, okay, but he can separate. We have Jamo. I mean, this guy got hurt. Like, he had to go to Alabama to get away to get some snaps. He had to leave Ohio State. So I mean, it's a guy who bet on himself. Unfortunately, tore his ACL and still might go in the first round. We have Drake London. We talked a lot about him, big bodied wide receiver, the X that we all might love. Also can play in the slot. But if you're talking about guys that you can bring in here that can be versatile, Garrett Wilson can play inside and out. You know, Drake London can play inside and out. Olave. Smooth route runner. So, I mean, again, go in the first round, get yourself another dog. I think that's the way, man. Second round is also – that's what I'm looking at. First and second round is littered with targets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and a lot of those guys that you mentioned too. I mean, I kind of would be fine with any of them at this point, because I'm just looking at our wide receiver group, and like I keep on reiterating, it needs to get better. And I think any one of those guys that you take in the first round vastly improves your wide receiver core, and then also just injects some youth in a team that is getting older, man. We need to, like, Greg Ward ain't going to be around forever for re-signings, man. I think that you get a big body. We've been saying this whole time, too, that Christian Watson in a later round.
Second, he's definitely going in second. You got a lot of people, you know, the Penn State heads are out here. Jahan Dotson.
Yeah.
Like, he's another guy, you know, talking about Pickens from Georgia, a big body type. Mm-hmm. As well, but that's really, I really think, you know, the way the board warrants it, especially with three picks, you could get your Evan could have his fun bringing that big DT Jordan Davis in here, or a Devontae Wyatt, and you still get your wide receiver, and you could just still get another. I'm still bringing another pass rusher if I can.
Let's put a percentage on it. What are the odds that the Eagles use all three first round picks in percentage wise?
I don't really want to speak into existence, but yeah, I'd say 95%.
Whoa.
95% they do.
I'm just trying to speak that into existence before I say like 50%. All right. If you get the whole speaking, like I try to put that out there before, but they could move.
My answer then?
They could move down.
So that down. Basically that was the Twitter version compared to the real life version.
Yeah, it's probably 50% for me.
Yeah, I was at 40. That's kind of where I'm sitting right now.
Trev is at 25.
Trev.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of liking the 50% too.
For 25, yo, because if at that 19th pick you can't.
But it's just like why not, man? Like, why not stick to it? It's never going to, I mean, do you see it ever happening again? Are we ever going to see three first round picks ever again?
I want to be there in person.
I hear you, but I mean, like, it's like, why go ahead and mess that up? It's set up perfectly for you. It really is, man. You can get three future stars in one night.
Yeah. But like, you know, everyone that is going to rebut to that saying, well, what's Howie's success rate in the first round? And I repeat, what's it matter, bro? We don't have another choice. We are stuck between a rock and a hard place. So we need to make the most out of it.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. Jerome's out here hating on Pac-12 receivers. I mean, the leading wide receiver for the Colts was from where? Pac-12. One of the leading wide receivers for the Lions. Amon-Ra St. Brown, his team, Drake London's teammate.
Oh, you mean like the 1-15 Lions?
But that has nothing to do with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Okay. They were throwing all the time.
Well, he had this a breakout season for you can't take that away from Pac-12, and I'm not going to say at the end of the day, you're like, but like if someone puts in work, I spent like 2 hours watching him today. Drake London today.
You put in a ton of work watching college film, and my question to you is, why are Pac-12 games so high scoring? Is it because there's no defense being played?
Like when I watch a Pac-12 game, when I watch first thing, if it's like from I don't know what the hell university state it is, then I'm like, nah, you know, like I start looking at who they're doing it against. But then again, if they are playing against a lower level team, I need to see them dominate. And Drake London, he was dominating. Like he was mossing dudes all day long. And you can't take, you know, they talk about his contested catch rate. But like again, if you see how he sets these guys up, all he does is put his body in front of them, mm-hmm. and uses his back and then full extension with the hands. It's not like he's Aguilar where his hands are in his chest and letting the ball hit his chest plate or anything. All the catches are out here, and he's got some nuance to his game. Again, if he's not the, I'm not gonna say he's the most like the speedy athletic dude, but he's got some yak ability. Again, because like you see comments like that, that's why I go back and watch more and more film just to make sure my eyes are seeing what they're supposed to see.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying by any means that just because a guy came from the Pac-12 doesn't mean he can't succeed. I just don't like the rate at which they decelerate into the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, you just got to look at what you got to look at.
Yeah, you got to take each case individually, 100%.
Like, and again, like you can go back and like are, you know, looking at a guy like Rager, and you start asking, okay, what did I miss? Mm-hmm. What are the question marks that I had about Rager coming in that now I got to look back? It was a quarter, you know, we had the QB play was one of the thing, but the whole lackadaisical thing I saw on tape because I'm like, yo, he's taking plays off over here because maybe the QB play is not where it needs to be. But I saw that on film and I'm like, all right, that's one of the weaknesses, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, all right, you guys. I mean, like it's. I feel like it's a calm before the storm a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it. Because I feel like we're on like the precipice of something big. I feel like any moment.
Ooh, look the word. The word. Yeah, you know.
I got the vocab app on my phone.
Flex.
He just downloaded Grammarly.
Yeah. But I think that like as of right now, like everything seems kind of quiet. And when things feel extra quiet this way, I feel like Howie's working on something. And I mean, do you guys want to bring up about how I'm the one that broke the Deshaun Watson not coming to the Eagles news? I mean, I have that one nailed.
Yeah, I mean, we have Evan Schefter over here with breaking news. The thing about the free agency frenzy, it's like, you know, as long as I've been following the NFL and covering the NFL, this has been the most crazy offseason in terms of like
without a doubt.
The QB carousel shit is real. I mean, talk about Matt Ryan is now that's another veteran quarterback out of the NFC. We have Mariota at ATL. So I don't know, man.
Bridgewater in Miami. Who knows where Jimmy G's gonna go?
You've been telling me to be patient, man, but patience is running out, man. This should start.
No, but if I could be real, like I'm just looking at the whole. You guys obviously know where my whole stance has been on the whole Watson thing, and I'm just looking at Cleveland and the PR, just you know, trying to cover all of their ends and get out all their PR statements and make it seem like they care. And like I can't express to you how happy I am that I'm not watching that happen with the Eagles organization.
I mean,
I'm sitting there watching. I was like, dude, I'm just glad this isn't us. I don't.
I mean, I saw the memes. They got Cosby memes rolling. They got. You have people protesting about it. Like, I get it. And like the $235 million guaranteed. And again, I think that's really what it comes down to. I'm like, he got that guaranteed money that he was looking for, which is unprecedented. Unprecedented coming out of his situation.
Is there a clause in his contract that if he loses the civil?
I'm not sure. Probably not.
I haven't heard anything on that.
But Joe Banner said it's a contract that he said is really going to change the way it's changing the way that things are, you know, contracts are being done. Like,
well, if he can get a fully guaranteed contract, anybody can. In my eyes,
everyone sees Kirk Cousins. Like, how the hell did you manage to pull off what you've done? Yeah. But it is what it is, man. Adam out here talking about Alex Pearson III. He's a guy that he might go in the back end of the second. I would love him in the third. I'm not sure. Yeah, if you guys have any questions, throw them up there where we're trying to get through these comments. You know, obviously.
There was a quarterback that we had talked about that has kind of rose up the boards a little bit. You think Malik's officially out of range? That dude was balling at his pro day.
He threw that ball out of range.
I think he's been top 10 range since. Like if you want a quarterback to develop, you have a guy to sit. You want to sit him for a year, let him develop. he's a guy that you might want to pick. I mean, the arm talent, again, arm talent alone. That's why you see these guys go higher than the others.
But do we really blow that whole video out of proportion? Because I mean, we're talking about somebody that threw a ball that wasn't being rushed at, that wasn't playing.
Yeah, but like I would love to see Jalen Hurts. Like, I just don't
anybody,
remember his
everybody pro would, everybody no, would. Right, no, we didn't see a pro day out of him. Right,
I'd say for people who haven't watched any film on Malik Willis and they see a throw like that and they see everyone going crazy about it, that's just another piece of the puzzle. But if you were watching his, you know, if you watched him at Liberty and then you got a chance to see him down at the Senior Bowl, like when you're seeing that at practice, mm-hmm. Like, and then the numbers on the Zebra technology, he did post some ridiculous, he broke some records on throws since they've been monitoring throws the last, I think, 5 or 4 years. That's the arm talent you talk about. Like, wow, you can't teach that.
I'm throwing out words like precipice. You're throwing out zebra technology. It's like,
yeah. Well, you know, because that's the thing at the end of the day, like that.
I ain't going out shit.
This could be the new, like when you talk about 40 times, that really has no, you know, weight as like zebra technology. They can track how fast they're like really running with pads, how fast they're running, you know, game speed, 40 time speed, not exactly the same thing.
No, but
it's definitely changing the way they're, again, everyone's, I don't think Hurts can make that throw.
Neither do I.
No, not at all. At least what we've seen, no, he can't.
Do you feel like every day that you go on the timeline, the conversations that are had on the timeline, I don't even partake. I skim and then like, here we go. Another, it's either somebody with their pants down for Hurts or someone exactly the opposite and is making every excuse to hate Hurts.
Yeah. I'll give you the reason right now, and it's because when the Eagles fans have too much time on their hands, like the off season, we develop polarizing opinions. We sit around and we talk about and debate issues, whatever it is, and then the debates become so enraged that you can't be in the middle. You're either on all the way on one side or you're all the way on the other, and that's pretty much a summary of Eagles Twitter.
No one is allowed to have an opinion.
No.
I mean, but so are we the only guys that stand on the timeline that are like in the middle?
I'm biased too. Like I'm sitting here like I'm preaching. I'm 100% biased too against certain issues.
No, I'm talking about Jalen Hurts. Like we're just like wait and see.
That's it. I'm caught in a tough spot with that though, because that was my mentality last year. I said all year, evaluation year, Jalen Hurts. And then for me to come back and say, all right, well, let's see what we got. Like that just makes me feel like we're wasting time at that point. So but we're limited on options. Like that's my point, is that we're limited on options. I'm not convinced that Jalen Hurts is the franchise quarterback moving forward, but I'm also leaving the door open to him because we're in such a weird spot right now between the draft and between, you know, other quarterbacks are no longer available to us. I think that you kind of just have to take the best of whatever you can get. And I think the best of what we can get right now is continuing on with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that's definitely the part that played a big, you know, part of this. The matter was the fact that we missed, well, not that we missed out, but, you know, we passed up on Russell Wilson. We passed up on, you know, even getting into the whole Aaron Rodgers conversation, you know, those type of quarterbacks, they were eyeing and stuff like that. But now that's not the option. You know what I mean? So our options are very limited. So, hey, what do you got to do? You know what I mean? You got to go ahead and ride it out with the kid. But we speak on it all the time. There are things that we, you know, all three of us can agree he has to work on. Yeah. You know what I mean? And Ev, you're right. I don't see him as the, not right now. I don't see him as the future quarterback. He's got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of developing to do. And I hope, you know, the organization focuses on that.
Now, Cody in the comments says, Hurts is the average NFL QB currently who can get better. And if he doesn't, that doesn't organize, if the organization will move on very swiftly. I like 90% of the fan base.
Beating your ass, bro.
And this sentence structure is off here. Fan base wants him to be the guy. We just don't know what he is. That's kind of what we've been saying. But then Jerome is this is a comment, you know, people are taking, you know, hey, did we take Kenny Two Gloves to dinner the other night? Just saying. Hey,
just go with the flow, man.
Kenny
just
Two Gloves reminds me of Sammy Sleeves. I don't like that nickname.
Hey, Jerome, he's also an Eagles fan. He was also invited to he came to an Eagles game this season with his dad. Had a great time. He said we bumped into him down at the Senior Bowl. And then he told Mally that there's nothing like being in the link. Yeah. I'm just trying to throw fire so Jerome gets more. But it is what it is, man. You got to make it look like you're QB hungry. And if more quarterbacks go before we pick, another guy slides down.
That's true.
This is how you have to look at it. Like
strategy. Follow the strategy, man.
You know who else went to dinner with? Christian Hackenberg, the Eagles did.
That's who it was. Christian
Hackenberg. Nothing happened. You just gotta do what you gotta do to make it look like you
that's the Penn State quarterback that you guys are talking about.
Yeah, Hackenberg.
Fucking guy.
Yeah. Hacker. Jerome's giving a laugh in the comments.
Eat your cheeseburger, you piece of shit.
How about Maxie had a hell of a game yesterday.
I'm glad he came up too, because you bring up Kenny Pickett being an Eagles fan, and I have to say that Tyrese Maxey is a Cowboys fan, and I would fucking die for that dude.
But I can see you now. Like I love Maxey, see you. Dude. I can see you being in his face and be like, man, I fucking love you, but I can't stand that you're a fucking Cowboys fan.
It drives me crazy.
Fuck the Cowboys.
My brother, resident Sixers fan in the comments. He watches every game religiously. I mean, my pops. Like everyone keeps on mentioning Bobby Wagner. Anyone?
The money is kind of what tight, gets man. Me it's off tight. Of him a little yeah. bit.
Tight.
Yeah.
I mean, we love him, but do we have linebacker money like
Jordan,
that?
Jordan Hicks still
of
out
his
there?
Caliber? No.
Nah, he's Jordan Hicks got picked up.
Vikings, 2 years at a reasonable price.
Yeah.
$6 million.
Was it 2 years? Was it 2 years?
2 years. I think $6 million.
Eight mil.
Damn, that's cheap.
I think it was $8 million. I might be wrong, but still I thought it was cheap. $8 million. Six and eight. It looks similar.
Yeah. I mean, again, the way that the draft is, there's talent in the second to third round, man. Like,
but see, that's just the thing. You would think that Bobby Wagner would go ahead and, you know, come on at a reasonable price, because you know he's only got what, maybe one or two left of him.
Well, you think about his situation. Like, we're talking about Maxey being a fan of the Cowboys. I heard Wagner was a fan of the Cowboys.
Hey, man, I like
good players. Cowboys stand for.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm good with that. But, I mean, I heard that. I was like, I don't need him on my team either. take it elsewhere, pal.
Yeah.
I don't need that stink.
I'm looking for, one second. Rube had put something out that I thought was pretty interesting. But now I started talking and I haven't found it yet, so it's just kind of awkward. So talk amongst yourselves.
Awkward.
Bird gang in the building.
What up,
31.
Man?
What's up, Bird gang?
Yeah, man. It feels like every chat that I've seen is becoming we all have our like the same topics. Everyone's thinking the same way right now.
Well, the other is it worth me? The other thing that was kind of driving me crazy was that as soon as somebody was either released or a name popped out there, everybody was just quick to go ahead and jump on it. Oh, bring him to the Eagles. Bring him to the Eagles. And I'm like, what? Like, everybody needs to calm
down. It's almost desperation at this moment.
But I mean, hey, look, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm getting impatient, but I'm not desperate.
let me read this to you from Ruben Frank. He put this out a few days ago. I thought it was really interesting. So the whole timeline this offseason, ever since offseason opened, People have been losing their minds, like how you've been saying. Just anytime someone gets released, they tag the Eagles. People freaking out when the Eagles don't end up landing somebody. So Rube had to say, the Eagles' 2017 offseason acquisitions. This was the date of the acquisitions, the year that we won the Super Bowl. Torrey Smith signed March 9th. Alshon Jeffrey, March 9th. Chance Warmack, March 9th. Nick Foles, March 9th. Chris Long, March 28th. Now we're past our current date. Patrick Robinson, March 28th. Timmy Jernigan, April 4th. LeGarrette Blount, May 18th. Corey Graham, August 3rd. Ronald Darby, August 11th. Jay Ajayi, October 31st. Guys, we got a long way to go. We put together a Super Bowl caliber team after where we currently are. Like, there's no reason to pound the alarm right now.
I mean, some of the signings that don't get you fired up, you know, can turn into the Rodney McLeods of the world, can turn into the Malcolm Jenkins in the world. These are the picks that we were like, I don't know about this one. It's okay. It's cool. But it is what it is. Again, we're also talking about culture. Like, you, as much as you, I was about to swear at people. I was like, as much as you, Samuel L. Jackson, favorite swear line, it, bro, like, it's, people don't think about the culture, man. Like football teams are built on, good football teams are built off of great culture, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Redick signing, I get that. That's a guy who wants to be here, wants to play for a city, put on for a city. Shout out to Camden and Prime, and Prime's got something that works for him. Yeah, but that's the kind of stuff you want, man. Like, you're trying to bring in guys that want to be here and love football. Like, we got some back end of the roster guys that show up. I don't even have to name the names that are just collecting money. You're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Right. Speaking of collecting money, did you see Chase Daniel got another contract?
No,
this guy is unbelievable.
That man could hold a key. Nobody could hold a clipboard better than that.
He really can't, man. Yo, Chase Daniel showed up at the NFL Combine with a ski mask like 15 years ago, man. He's ready to rob the league.
he's stealing money, man. He's stealing money. Hey,
he spoke it into existence. I'm here to rob you.
Birdman, shout out to Aaron Ortega. He says everyone is eating at the table and how he's eating at the kiddie table. I get it. Sean says he should be checking out grocery store baggers that were champions. That's where champions are found. I just think it is at this moment, like, if he's going to attack the mid-tier market, make sure they're smart signings. Don't just bring in and waste money. Like, if it makes sense, it makes sense. I mean, this makes sense right here. Chad Muma at linebacker. Christian, we did an interview with him on our Talk to Prospect. Check it out on YouTube. Great, great dude. You're talking about, I'd hope he slipped into the third, but that's not going to happen. Probably back into the second. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
So there's a lot of depth in this draft. Would you guys be open to trading one of those first round picks and moving back and acquiring maybe two twos or something along those lines?
I would be okay if moving back a little bit and grabbing. Yeah. See, you could move
if
back.
If we stay in the second round, I'm all with it. If we gave up one to stay to get pick up more in the second round, I'm with it. But if we go any lower than that, I'll be bothered with it. Mm-hmm.
If you can move back a couple spots and you know the teams behind you aren't picking your guy, then so be it. Collect it. And my other thing is, people were talking about, like, oh, we haven't got a wide receiver, a vet that we can bring in. You know, we could move down a couple spots and recoup a player too. That's mm-hmm. another way we can get gold fronts in his mouth. Defensive tackle from the Ravens.
You're not talking about Jernigan.
Jernigan. That's how we got him in the draft. Hmm. Moving. You know, you swap picks, recoup a player. I'm cool with that, you know. Pat P for president at CB2. How we feeling about that? Like,
I'd be pushing P. Is that what the kids are saying?
You know, some people are saying that he's washed gang, but hey man, like Pat P can play.
It's all a famer, man.
He can still play. Yeah. It's not overly the sexy, but hey, we're still on the sauce over here.
The what sauce? The Reddick sauce?
Come sauce, on, man. Sauce.
Sauce.
Sauce. Definitely the sauce in the draft. Come on, man. Let's see here. People in the comments here.
Edwin says that's a Belichick move to trade down. I'm trying to get like Belichick. I mean, I like how his hand looks. Pretty blinged out.
Now, Feast Poof Pete says Joe Banner did say Eagles might trade one of those picks back for the next. See, that move would piss me off because we're not good enough.
Yeah. Who's Pete's PS2 this draft?
We're not good enough to be like, go get your man. Like, if you can't figure it out, man.
People never forget.
If you can't forget, you can forgive.
Aaron Ortega said, I heard Pickett ordered the hurt chops at dinner.
We have Aaron as the number one Hurts hater in the building, right?
Definitely on the West Coast.
Is that what the streets are saying?
That's what the streets are saying.
I'll be on some like random platform or whatever. It'd be Twitter, and look, it'll be like something in Birdman comment, like of like with the sledgehammer and the bat, like waiting to take out people.
Pete says his PS2 this draft is Andrew Booth. I'm high on Booth. I like Booth, man.
He's kind of forgotten. He's the guy that slept on.
I feel like McDuffie's another one of those guys that slept on.
I keep seeing him getting mocked to us, man.
You say that like it bothers you.
What, at 15?
Yeah.
Not at 15.
Not at 15. No. I saw it like three times in mocks. I was like, yo, what is this? I don't know about this. I don't know about this.
Yeah. How much do you think the Ajabo injury changes things?
Well, I did see that in the comments earlier. I've got that question probably like five times in my DMs already today. Seriously, this is what I said. I said, as much as you love Ojabo and you love the athleticism, his game is raw, right? So he's right now you're basing your love for Ojabo off his athleticism. Now his athleticism took a hit, his Achilles. We don't know if he's gonna have a Cam Akers return from his Achilles. Yeah. Like it's a toss-up right now. So he's coming back behind the eight ball, trying to learn and get familiar with the NFL on now a bum Achilles and him being like my whole love for Ojabo is like, all right, if we can teach him the technique, get him there. He's already got the athleticism. He's doing what he's doing with the athleticism, but now his athleticism is in question. That fucking sucks, bro. Do you know how much money he lost?
No, he lost a ton of money. And I really like an Achilles injury on a position player like that scares me. Because like if you think about, like you mentioned, like how Cam Akers came back, like you're talking about a guy who ultimately his goal is to avoid being hit and just keep on running. Whereas a defensive lineman is a guy that's going to battle every single play. And you need to exert force, a ton of force into those legs in order to power forward. So I don't know, man.
We're also talking about that, and we don't talk about it enough, is BG coming off Achilles.
Yeah,
it's for sure. That's why we say at
a much older age, no less.
Yeah, that's why we say double dip at defensive end if you can, man. Like it's, I've heard the go Georgia in the first round of the draft, and you'll be okay. Get yourself an edge, get yourself a DT. But hey, man.
And they got them all.
It seems like Jermaine Johnson is going high. Like from the buzz right now is top 10, which is like, really?
Well, if Howard decides to take all the quarterbacks out to dinner. So
So in a cool tone, wants us to settle a debate amongst him and his people. Who's the worst pickup, Nnamdi Asamoa or Orlando Scandrick? That's easy for me, honestly. I'm with Nnamdi. I mean, Orlando Scandrick, he was washed when he got here. I wasn't expecting much from Orlando Scandrick. Where Nnamdi Asamoah, we were told he was one of the top cornerbacks in the league, and he came here and he was a straight.
We got hyped up as he was the top one.
I'm going to go Orlando Scandrick because I just hate that dude because I don't even like.
I hate him, but I can't pass up on Nnamdi. Nnamdi was definitely the worst.
Yeah, I mean, I had a moment in a Chinese restaurant, and I hugged this waiter, and he had no idea. Like, his English was pretty bad. I was like, "We just signed Nnamdi." He's like, "What?" I said, "We just signed Nnamdi."
And he's like, "The actor." Like,
he was like, and it was just like, he was like, "Why are you hugging me?" And I'm like, and I'm like, bro, whatever. Hey. So I had a moment. Damn, I hated Orlando Scandrick. That dude was like, it was like having a rat in your locker room.
Hated him. I still hate him. I hate that guy.
Joey Shakes checking in. How you doing, Joey?
Joey.
Said, I don't trust Howie. I got a feeling they're going to make a move for a QB. Check this. Quiet free agency. I was saying that earlier, Joey. It's quiet out here. Taking Pickett out to dinner. Malik Willis. But it could be a smokescreen. Scary times.
That's what you got to do, man.
It has been quiet out here, man. That's what I've been saying.
You got to make people out here think about where we're going. You got to think about when Daniel Jeremiah on NFL Network was pumping that we're going to get what's his name? The wide receiver from the Ravens. The small wide receiver from the Ravens.
Shit.
Steve Smith?
No. Just recently, 2000.
You saying when we got 2001?
They were saying we were either going to go running back or wide receiver, and we ended up picking Dillard.
Are we talking about when we got Mike Wallace?
No, we got picked up Dillard that year.
Oh, yeah.
But they were pumping that like we were going to get wide receiver and running back, and then here we end up getting Dillard. But you know, they pump up those narratives, man. You know, Jeremiah's an ex Eagle. Front office guy, like, or scout guy, just like, yo, give him some sauce, put it out there.
We know scouts, bro.
Kyle Hamilton, that is like my dream player to fall. What is your dream player to fall in the first round?
Wow. I don't think you're gonna like my answer. But I'm going to go Malik Willis.
I knew you were going to go there. I was just waiting for you to say it.
Nah, yeah, that's my guy.
He said that earlier today, too, when we were talking. Like, Evan wants Malik Willis.
He does.
Yeah, you're ready to take that.
I mean, listen, if he's saying it on here, he really wants it.
Man, I've been telling you that I'm not convinced about Jalen Hurts. If we're bringing in Malik Willis, I mean, I'm not really down with taking a top quarterback and saying, hey, we're going to have a competition. But I mean, we're kind of half committed to Jalen Hurts right now. And if we went into there with a quasi competition where we all kind of know in the back of our minds that Malik Willis is going to end up coming out on top, I'm okay with it if it makes him better.
Jay Sosa chimed in. He said that was Hollywood Brown that the Eagles were going to draft.
Hollywood Brown.
Todd's favorite player, dream player, is Sauce.
There it is.
Knee that's sauce, yours?
That's mine. That's knee sauce. I want that's sauce. Yours? Man. Yeah, man.
Shakes is saying Jordan Davis. Mm.
Love me some Jordan Davis. Sorry.
Hey, that's he's a guy that, you know, everyone's saying 15 range, top 15.
We didn't even get to talk, too. I mean, you guys had a show after Cox ended up, getting out on free agency. Yeah. My man's back. I mean, that was kind of a
weird scene for you.
It was weird. I thought it was a weird scene.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because you think about, again, I think everyone.
Like not much has happened and changed. What did we say? Like maybe a couple mil?
I heard EJ Smith was saying that, they saved 16 mil.
They saved 16?
That's what he was saying. Maybe this could be.
I thought that was when we cut him. I'm not sure if when we got him back.
Maybe for future contract references. Because hey, go check that. Did I send you the over the cat video? That he put on YouTube talking about the restructure. Mm-hmm. If you want to, I know F, you want to get high and watch that video, your head will be spinning. Not that you do. High on life, guy. High on life. But like the way that he was explaining how that contract was made, he said it was like one of the most difficult contracts they put together, that Howie's put together. So if you go check it out, you're just like, man, I'm like, and that's what you think the beauty of what Howie does is with the contracts.
You hear this, Prime? He wants me to get all toked up and then watch a 45-minute video on how to restructure Fletcher Cox's contract.
Yeah, why not?
He expects me to understand that on the other side.
Have you seen Evan's tweets around 12 o'clock at night?
The most random.
Yeah, they do be bizarre though.
Most random thoughts in the world. You're like, yo, man, this mother is on some of that.
What is he thinking? What is on that man's mind?
He must have ate a nice little brownie or something, because that guy's talking about the most random stuff you ever heard in your life.
Hey, Jason will join me. He's in.
Yeah, Todd says yes. 16 mil.
I think I'm asking the questions that people want the answers to, though.
Maybe. Yeah. They might have not even asked them yet, neither.
Oh man. I do feel like the first couple of days of free agent frenzy was like, I didn't sleep well, and my phone sent me a note. They're like, your screen time is up 44% in the last 9 days.
Jesus.
I spent.
Even, you know what's bad when your phone is telling you, it's like, hey, pal, put me down.
Yeah, no, it was I was averaging 10 hours a day screen time. I was just like this all day. All day.
Nice.
Now Adam chimes in. He says, Gale, Evan, and Prime, thoughts on Andrew Booth at 15 or 16 too early?
I don't think so, necessarily.
I don't think so. I mean, he's around that range. I mean, if you're looking second round, maybe McCreary out of Auburn. If he goes earlier than that, back end of the first, perhaps. But hey man, if you don't go, I mean, obviously Sauce is number one for in a lot of people's books, and then Booth, and then McDuffie is getting his love too. We'll see. I'm not hating. I went back and watched McDuffie the other day. I'm like, I'm trying to get hype on like what I'm, but I'm still not there yet. Mm-hmm. I hate him. I'm just saying.
Cody threw an interesting name out there. I'm surprised we didn't see that earlier. Hoping that his dream guy is Linderbaum to fall. Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's not. I'm not hating that either. I'm not hating that at all. Like I haven't forgot about him, but I'm just.
Yeah, I know that the Kelsey thing kind of, I don't want to say ruined it for you, but you know, it took some of the excitement out of it for you.
I mean, anytime you draft interior offensive line, it's not like sexy, like.
Yeah, but like, I mean, and I take everything PFF says with a grain of salt, but they are the guys saying that this is the highest rated center that they've had in the PFF era. So, I mean, it's not just a guy, you know what I mean? We're talking about maybe a generational talent to replace Kelsey, who's a generational talent. We don't really miss a beat.
And shout out to one of our old Fourth and John writers, Braxton Howard, who's with PFF. But I'm saying, I like you, Zion Johnson. You can go Zion Johnson. You know, maybe he's a guy that could give you some versatility. Maybe he can play center and guard for you. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can get him later. You can get him in the set. You can get him. I feel like the Cowboys are going to get a lineman in the first.
And it's going to be Linderbaum.
It's going to be either like Zion Johnson or Linderbaum or something. I'm going to be mad at that too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's definitely the Cowboy way.
And I think Jason's an Iowa head, so he knows all about the Linderbaum.
Yep.
You guys do any random thoughts you want to get off your chest before you get the I'm not gonna even say it, man. I know you got it's random because I see the timeline and I'm like, I was like, what is Evan doing right now? What is he talking about? Hey, man, I was like, oh,
I got all my goodies in arm's reach right now.
Arms race over there. Cody says, rank your top three corners. I'm going Sauce, Booth, and then you could throw McDuffie in there.
What about Stingley?
Oh shit! Well, I mean, wow.
I was gonna say wow. Sauce.
Because I don't even like think about Stingley as a guy that I'm thinking that isn't reach for us. But hey, if Stingley, Stingley, Sauce, and then Booth.
Two honey badges.
Interesting.
Who do you think has a better shot to fall? I mean, I think that they're both pretty unlikely, but Stingley or Kyle Hamilton?
Out of the two, probably Stingley. Okay. Kyle Hamilton is the unicorn that you want on the back end of your defense.
He's not slipping out of top five.
No, as much as people, he would be like one of the highest drafted safeties in a long time. Mm-hmm. You're talking about who's the last safety that was drafted that high?
I can't even tell you.
But the way
Jalen Ramsey. Or no, I mean, was he drafted as a safety though? I thought he was drafted as a safety.
No, he had the versatility. Like he played some linebacker too at FSU.
Right.
Jalen Ramsey is a freaking unicorn.
Yeah.
Todd says he thinks Stingley is falling. He's had some, you know, medically he didn't perform at the combine. He was dealing with an injury, right? And then had some inconsistencies after his freshman season. So, I mean, you know, again, I'd love for him to fall to us. I'll take that all day, every day.
Yeah, man.
What else do we have in here? Adam says, it just sucks that more QBs will be drafted high. That way a blue chip would fall to us to 15. I mean, that's the whole idea, man. Again, like if we're gonna go for like a wow factor, if we got Jordan Davis, I think that the city itself would just love a defensive lineman that size.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's like a good spirited, funny dude, like you know how Philly is, they just you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like he's a guy that I endorsement deals, just waiting for him. Organic gummy bear since he's not.
Oh, he'll have his face on a cheesesteak, bro.
He's talking about. Yeah, I mean, I can totally see him with a cheesesteak or eating some crab fries. You know, you know what I'm saying?
No, that is true though. I mean, that is kind of the unfortunate part of this kind of being a weaker QB draft is that, you know, if there were like four or five QBs that were going in the top 10, I mean, that would push a lot of guys down to us.
Does 99 come out of retirement if he's drafted?
Don't see that.
Oh, no. Nah. Prime, shut that one down real quick.
Yeah, don't see that happen.
Nah, man.
You can't give that to an unproven rookie, man.
I'd give him zero. I'd give him zero. That would be great. That would be a great number. Yeah, man. I think it's, you know, let's see here. Mark says, is it confirmed that free agent wide receivers aren't coming to Philly because of Hurts'
arm? It's been a subject during the week.
I honestly doubt it, though, man.
That's a topic I've been seeing.
Money talks.
But also, but if you're a wide receiver on a one-year deal looking to get production to base off your next contract, if you're talking about an offense that – where your quarterback is only throwing the ball 25 times in the back end of the season, that's kind of how we were morphing because we were a solid run team. Right. If you're a wide receiver or a wide receiver two, you know who's getting targets, right? You know, Devontae's getting the targets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking about being wide receiver two in this offense, you might, your production might take a hit. But if you don't care about that, care about bring your lunch pail and your hard hat, Zach Pascal's like, I'm here, guys. I'll do whatever it takes to be that dude. And then you draft your own guy. Like, again, draft your own dude, build the culture.
Like, but the Eagles, too, like, even if you are wide receiver two, we spread the ball around well. So you'll still get your touches as a wide receiver two.
But not a lot. I mean, you can think about Dallas Goedert. It's Dallas. It's a Dallas Goedert and Devontae show.
For sure. For sure.
In the passing game. Mm-hmm. Like, again, if you go play with the Chiefs, everybody eats, fam.
You know who I think fits in here is Cordarrelle Patterson, man.
Cordell?
Yeah, Patterson.
Didn't he just sign with the
Falcons? I'm missing news?
He didn't resign.
This
he
guy. Oh, this he's... guy. Right back across the table, pal.
No, I saw him tweet something.
This is part of the being patient. No, I saw him tweet. There's still good names out on that list.
I seen him tweet out a rise up. I was like, oh, I was like, word?
Yeah, because, you know, technically he's still on
Kyle
the
Pitts is out there tweeting that they're getting Deshaun Watson. They don't know.
Patterson did resign?
He did sign. Well, eggs on my face.
Did he?
That's what they're saying. Yeah, he did resign with the Falcons.
Oh, see, here we go.
Go ahead, send it back over.
Yeah, there you go. There you go with your moment.
Sky. Oh, yeah. Atlanta Falcons 13 hours ago. Welcome back, Cordarrelle Patterson.
13. Yeah, we're okay. Well, I wasn't paying attention 13 hours ago.
Yeah, see, I saw a rise up. I was like, oh, damn, okay. Okay. Yeah,
that sucks.
And then Leonard Fournette also signed with the Bucks. 3 years.
Lame.
Damn Tom Brady.
Fucking douche. Just get away, man.
Yeah. But before we get out of here, man, I know it's a late one. We just wanted to jump on, talk a little bit about the newest wide receiver to the group. Obviously, no one here is, like, super excited where we're, you know, jumping off our chairs or, you know, it is what it is, man. I think it's a solid signing back end of the wide receiver depth. Okay. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts on that?
No, I agree. That's kind of what I've been saying this whole time, whether it be on the show or just in a private chat with you guys. Patience is a virtue. We have a long, long way to go. So I you know, go and find that tweet from Rube where he talks about all the year that we won the Super Bowl, when we actually, the date we signed each individual guy. We got a long way to go. It's only March right now. We still have more than a month until the draft. So let's just to take a page out of Aaron Rodgers' book, just R-E-L-A-X.
I'm trying my hardest to go ahead and relax. You know what I mean? I'll be sitting here lying to you, telling you if that's easy and it's not. You know, just seeing the ESPN ringtone on my phone, it just gets disturbing nowadays because it's just like something that is not for us. It's not meant, you know, for us. It's meant for everybody else. So right now, everybody else is pretty much partying, you know, having a good time, and we ain't doing shit, you know. So that's the frustrating part. But I'm trying. I'm going to try a little bit harder on being patient. You know what I mean? And I think what's helping me out is that list that you already broke down, Evan, and just seeing it the other day, it's like, all right. And the crazy part about it, like maybe about six to seven players that you named on that list was part of that Super Bowl run.
Yep.
So, hey, just saying, you know what I mean? It's a possibility. So I'm going to go ahead and R-E-L-A-X. I had to make sure I was going to spell that right.
Y'all waiting for me?
I mean, you're usually the sign-off guy, so.
Oh, I mean, you said it perfectly, Prime Man. Again, man, it's a matter of bringing in the right pieces. Obviously, we know we missed out on some guys over here. We it's a reality. But hey, man, that's why we talk about everyone is excited about what's going on with them. When it comes to the first round of the NFL draft, we have three picks. You talk about fun. You know how excited I am? We have We use all three of those picks, which would be 50% chance, maybe potentially 95%. You know how excited the first round of the draft will be for the Eagles and their fans. So that's where I'm at. I'm geared for the NFL draft. If you're going to attack the mid-tier signings, do it smartly. And that's where we're at, man.
Fashionably late to the party.
Yeah.
We'll still get to a tent.
Yeah, we'll do it. And let's everyone pray for Howie, man. Make sure he gets it right. And we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.